Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, we are going to start there tonight. I'm going to give you just a little bit of a warning. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. I think I have 7 pages of notes, but you can get nervous tonight. I know, Ben, you're whistling. It's okay. Most of the scriptures I'm just going to read to you because I'm wanting to make a point with doing that. I want to just read them back to back. So for some of you that take notes, you may be scrambling quickly to write, but I hope you'll see where we're headed. And then at the end of the message, I'd like to give you some practical pointers. And the title of the message tonight is simply The Doing of Prayer. And we are going to look at when to pray, where to pray, and how to pray. And specifically under the how, we're going to give some practical pointers. Next week, we will look at the model prayer that the Lord gave when the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So we'll look at that specifically next week. But simply put tonight, we must pray everywhere and for everything. He says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and we're going to be looking at a lot of it tonight. Thank you that you've given us so many examples in Scripture that we can look to and be encouraged by. We pray that as we do so tonight, that your people would be encouraged in their area of prayer life. And we look forward to what you're going to accomplish tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just before we jump in, I want to encourage you, if you're not a part of that men's prayer meeting on Sunday morning, I'd love for you to come. We're having a great time in there. We're averaging 18, 19 men, something like that, and it's been a great time. Wonderful encouragement to me. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that if you've not been in the past. Okay, I'd like for us to start out tonight with looking at when to pray. When to pray. And if you're going to take notes, I'll try to keep you succinct in the process here, but Roman numeral number 1, when to pray. Letter A, times to pray. We're going to give you a variety of these. Psalms 55 and verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Some of these verses we'll repeat in various categories, which you'll get the point of them as we go along. In the morning is a time that we can pray. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Psalms 88 and verse 13. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. The Bible talks about praying at noon. Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the 6th hour in the Jewish a time period that would be about noon. 3 o'clock is a time to pray. Acts chapter 10 and verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, it tells us at midnight. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And of course, we know the great earthquake that took place as God came down there. Day and night, the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And then number 6, time to pray all night. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. You kind of get the idea that you can pray just about any time you want to, don't you? You can pray in the morning. You can pray all day or all night. You can pray throughout the night. You can pray at 3 o'clock. You can pray at noon. You can pray in the evening. You can just pray anytime you want to. Wait until we look at the rest of the things tonight in the Word of God. That's just kind of the beginning for us. Without ceasing, the Bible has a lot to say about that. And some of this we've already touched on in some of the previous messages. But Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We're going to come back to that of the church, because the church can pray collectively. And this is one of the verses we'll look at a little bit later on. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. For God is my witness, when I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayers. Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Colossians 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Luke 18:1, we've already read. Philippians 1 and verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. We can see from God's word that we're to pray morning, noon, 3 o'clock, midnight, day and night, all night. We're to pray without ceasing. He also tells us, number 3, we're to pray for decisions. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. And of course, in the context, they are replacing Judas there in Acts chapter 1 as to be numbered with the 12. In Acts 6 and verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Acts 13 and verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, those missionaries. Acts 14 and verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So before the Lord chose the 12 apostles, he spent all night long in prayer and then made that decision. Decisions are important. We're to pray in trouble. When we're in trouble, Psalms chapter 32 and verse 6. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Matthew 17, verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Mark 9, 29, and he saith unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 33, Elisha and the kid, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord of heaven. This is when Elisha goes into the young man that had died, and he is going to raise him from the dead. He goes in with him by himself and prays, and obviously we know that he came back to life. Hezekiah In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 2 says, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying," and of course that's the time when Hezekiah had just been told that he was going to die. And he turned to the wall and said, "God, would you give me a few more years?" And God granted that request. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Psalm 64 and verse 1, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Psalms 102 and verse 17, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." But God wants us to come to Him in a day of trouble. He wants us to come to Him for healing. He says in Acts chapter 28 and verse 8, "And it came to pass that the father of Publius was lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him." James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." God's given us a variety of reasons to pray. He says also to pray to avoid temptation. Letter F, to avoid temptation. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. "Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." What's interesting is we think about times to pray. There are times that God tells us not to pray. Now let's look at a couple of those. Jeremiah 17 and verse 6. "Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." God said, "Don't pray for Israel anymore. I'm tired of listening. I'm not going to hear." In Jeremiah 11 and verse 14, "Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them. I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble." Jeremiah 14 and verse 11, "Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good." Of course, we know that in Proverbs chapter 1, God talks about when someone comes to them and they've rejected his reproof and they rejected what he's wanted to do for them, he will laugh at them when they pray, will not hear what they have to say. So as we can see, there's all kinds of reasons to pray, and we could probably come up with some more. But God wants us to pray about everything, everywhere. But let's look at number two, where to pray. Where to pray. This was really fascinating to me. And under the where, we also could not just talk about a location, but a position, if you will. Now, do you always have to pray when you're kneeling or whatever? We're going to kind of look at those things. The first place that I want to talk about is what I would call a place of worship. And the reason I'm saying that is because there were times when the Jewish people went to the temple to pray, and where the church came together to pray. And I realize that the temple, Israel, and the church are different, but they were both places that people came collectively together and prayed. Look with me at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The church is very young in this passage of Scripture, Acts 2. In verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." So one of the things that characterized the early church was prayers. If we took the time tonight to follow it throughout the book of Acts and then look at the epistles in which Paul and other writers wrote to them, we're constantly seeing them talk about the church praying for other people. Chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Acts 22 and verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, Paul says there. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, brethren, pray for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So when people gathered together, it was appropriate for them to pray together. That was one of the places that they could pray. But number two, he says that we can pray in a house. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, we could make an argument that this was a church as well, because they did meet in houses, and that's very well possible, but it was in a house. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, and of course, this again is Hezekiah, and he's in his house praying. The Bible tells us, letter C, that we can pray at the riverside. Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Many people believe that if there was not a synagogue, that the Jews would gather by a place of water and there have their prayers for the day. And this is probably what was taking place here. There are some people who like to use the excuse, you know, of going to the riverside to pray, you know, on Sunday morning with a fishing pole. I'm not sure how much praying they're doing, but you can pray by a riverside. Letter D, by the shore. Acts chapter 21 and verse 5. And when he'd accomplished those days, he departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. The Bible tells us that we can pray standing. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. And of course, Solomon opens then an incredible prayer for the dedication of the temple. That's one of the prayers we will look at as we look at examples of praying in the Word of God. But he's standing and he's lifting his hands toward heaven. The Bible tells us that we can pray while we're kneeling. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. So we see this same prayer. At one point he's standing, at another point he's kneeling. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. His windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. The Bible tells us that we can pray sitting. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? The Bible tells us that we can pray while bowing. Psalms 95 and verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. On your face, the Bible says. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 14. And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 16. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. The Bible says that we can pray in our closet. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I've had some people say that that is the only way we can pray. We should not pray publicly. We should not pray anywhere but in our closet because God told us to do this. If you look at the context of that verse, he's really dealing with someone who is praying for show. They wanted to get attention to themselves. And he says, look, that's not what praying is about. And obviously from the rest of Scripture, we know that we can pray other places besides our closet. But it is a place that we can pray. When I was in the Marine Corps, I had the opportunity to have one of those prayer closets overseas. It was a wonderful thing because the barracks are pretty filthy places to live. And God gave me just a small closet that I could go in there. Nobody knew I was in there. And it was a sweet time there. And that was my prayer closet. The Bible says that we can pray on the mountain. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Mark chapter 6 and verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. We can pray in a garden. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. We can pray in the wilderness. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We can pray in a fish's belly. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Took him a little while to get to that point, but that's what God was after all along. We can pray in jail. Paul and Silas did that in Acts 16, 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't very shy about their praying, were they? We can pray in bed. Might want to be careful of this one. I'm just saying. Close your eyes, and that might be a problem. But Psalms chapter 63 and verse 6, When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You ever had a time when God just woke you up and it was like instantly, you need to pray for that? And you don't necessarily get out of bed or whatever, but boy, God just reminded you of a time. And just in case we've missed a location that you think is not really listed in the Bible, he says that we can pray at a certain place. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then if that didn't cover it, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Everywhere. I hope tonight that was not a boring exercise for you. The point is, I could have just read one verse or whatever, or just told you that. I wanted you to see, number one, the emphasis of prayer in the Word of God. I mean, that's a ton of Scripture verses that talk about praying, number one. Number two, I wanted you to see that God wants us to pray for everything. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter where we are. Now, they didn't specifically mention a chariot, but I imagine there was some men prayed in a chariot somewhere along the line, so you could pray driving down the road. Don't close your eyes when you're doing that, okay? Some of you might drive better that way, but probably wouldn't be a helpful thing. And the truth is, there are a lot of places and times that we could pray that we waste. And God wants us to spend that time in prayer. And so I want us to see, number three, how to pray. And these are not necessarily the technicalities, but just some practical suggestions about how to pray. And I want to give you just a couple things. There's a ton of illustrations out there. Dale sent me something this week about taking your finger and assigning them to different things and praying that way as a prayer list. But me give you just a couple of things. Number one, someone has suggested an acrostic of Acts, A-C-T-S, that is, adoration. And we're going to talk later in our series about the importance of praise in your prayer life, and that would be that adoration. Letter C is confession. We spend that time agreeing with God where God is, where we have wronged Him. T is thanksgiving, thanking God specifically for those things that He has blessed us with. And you understand there's the difference between praise and thanksgiving. Praise is praising God for who He is. Thanksgiving is praising Him for what He's specifically done for you. And then lastly would be supplication, or that would be those request times that you do. And that's something that maybe can help you just organize your prayer a little bit. I particularly use a variety of methods to remind myself to pray. I have actually three different sections, if you will, that I have broken down my prayer life in. One is my personal family, that is, the people that are close to me, my mom and dad, my siblings, my wife's family, my own personal children, grandchildren, my wife, so forth. And that's one whole section, and those are not written down anywhere. I figure I can remember who my own family is, okay, hopefully anyway. There may be some days that didn't happen, but most days I can figure that out. Then I have a section that I've written in my devotional journal, and those of you that were here on the first Wednesday night of the new year, we gave you a copy of that devotional journal. And that bottom section there, I fill in with special requests, people who have physical needs, and maybe requests that you specifically have given me. And so on that list right now, for instance, is Brother Eric Walton's hip replacement and having healing that. Allison and Valerie are on that list right now. Obviously, the Coffees are on that list. And a variety, I know some of you are getting nervous. I'm not going to tell a prayer request you gave me that was personal. But I'm just saying there's a variety of things there that's on that list. And I actually write that down because I'm afraid I'll forget some of them. And so typically, if you were to hand me one of these little orange sheets of paper and say, hey, Pastor, I need you to pray with me about something, then it would go on that list until God answers it or whatever, and then it rotates off or God heals them or whatever happens. And then the third thing that I do, and this is where I'd like to spend a little bit of time, is we have divided the church up into deacon care groups, and there are six of them. Each of you have been assigned a group. Most of you know where those are. And I take a deacon care group a day and pray for them. That gets me Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, I do something different in my prayer time. But so each day, I then take that group of people, their children and so forth, and pray for them specifically. Obviously, there are some people that are on my other special prayer list that are prayed for frequently. But that particular one, I try to break the church down and pray for them in six different days. On the new list that we just printed are also the missionaries broken down into that so that you can pray for them one each day. So you have a section of the church members and a section of the missionaries that your particular deacon group is responsible for. And that's a very convenient way then for you to kind of break the church family down and be able to pray for them. Now perhaps you wouldn't pray for one every day. Maybe you're going to pray for your own deacon group every day, and that would be perfectly fine for you to do that. If everybody did that, then we would all be prayed for. I want to just try to help you to see what small amounts can mean in the long run in our prayer life. A lot of people think that praying is large chunks of time that we set aside. Now, that may be the case. You may be able to set aside a large chunk of time in which you can pray, but many times effective praying can happen in smaller amounts of time when you're using those windows very, very effectively. And you'd be surprised at the amount of time you can spend in prayer. Let me just give you an example that I, as I was studying this week, calculated for us. Let's say that each family in the church prayed for the section of the deacon care group that you're responsible for, and you only spent 15 seconds on each person in that group, okay, which is not a lot of time. But you would be surprised at what you can say in 15 seconds. Matter of fact, some of you do a really great job of jamming a lot into 15 seconds, okay? That was a joke. Anyway, we can really say a lot in 15 seconds without rushing through it. And some of you may say, well, I want to spend a lot more time. Okay, but let's say that we spent that 15 seconds per person. That would equal about 7.5 minutes per group. So that's what it would take you approximately to pray through a deacon care group. Well, if everyone in the church did that every day, we would spend 1 hour and 42.5 minutes a day praying for each other. That's if you spent 15 seconds praying for a fellow church member, then collectively, we could spend 1 hour and 42.5 minutes praying for each other. Let me ask you a question. Do you think if we did that consistently, we would see a change at Emmanuel Baptist Church? I'm convinced that we would. That works out to be 684 plus hours a year that each person would be that each person would spend collectively, not each person, but collectively we would spend in prayer. That's a lot of praying. For just spending a little bit of time praying for someone else in our church family. And you're only asking for 7.5 minutes a day to do that. And the truth is, if we can't spend 7.5 minutes in prayer a day, we've got some issues, don't we? Because the truth is, we spend more than 7.5 minutes reading the newspaper or on our cell phone or on the internet or television or reading or... And I'm not saying any of those things in and of themselves are bad. But when we say we don't have time to spend in prayer, when we really do have time if we make it a priority. How many of you drive further than 15 minutes to work a day? You drive further than 15 minutes to work a day, okay? A good many of us. Well, that's prayer time right there. Well... But talk radio's on. I tell you, you're just going to get depressed anyway. The country's bad and it's getting worse and nobody can fix it and people are getting murdered and that's about it. So, you know, and all you're either going to do is agree with the guy or scream at the guy. That's your two options. So turn it off and spend some time in prayer. Have some prayer cards there that you can just be reminded of people or whatever and spend that time in prayer. For ladies, you probably spend 7.5 minutes in front of a mirror every morning. I mean, all you're doing is standing there. I'm glad you do it. I mean, it looks good, but man, that's a lot of time that you could just spend, you know? Spending that time in prayer. There are all kinds of things that you can do to use your time effectively to pray. And it doesn't have to be, and that one of the things I wanted to show you tonight is it doesn't have to be that time necessarily where we sit down or we kneel down and have a specific time to pray. I think you should do that. But you can pray anywhere. You can pray under any circumstances, wherever you are. Just take the time to pray. And pray for each other. We need it. I hope you're praying for me. I desperately need you to pray for me. I hope you're praying for me daily. That God would give wisdom and help, and as I study and work through and try to minister to you, I desperately need that. We each need that. And so tonight, my purpose was just to get you to see that we can pray in every circumstance, no matter what the time is. Let's just make prayer a priority. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter what kind of circumstances we're in, we can pray. And Lord, truthfully, there are other examples that we didn't even get to tonight of people that just made prayer a priority. Lord, we believe, at least we say we believe, that prayer changes things. Then we need to spend the time in prayer. And Father, we ask you tonight to work in our midst.